This is The Drive on KFH.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday edition of The Drive on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Jason Duda, and Misty are your co-hosts today. Misty, absolutely beside herself at all the traffic here in the West Wichita basement studio today.
She's very happy, but I think she wanted some of my cookie.
Oh, it's unbelievable that you brought a cookie over today.
What do you mean, who cares? I got a real problem.
Everybody who knows about the cookies likes the cookies.
They can like them, but
sometimes
I can't imagine what could be bigger than the cookie.
This isn't Cookie Nothing. Talk with Bob and Sons. That's not the name of the show.
It is today.
I have a real problem.
Why, you got slaughtered all weekend by your older brother on everything? Is that your problem?
It wasn't great, but, I mean, you
I mean, Arizona. Arizona, you got pumped. You got pumped with golf. I beat your dad
in
two games.
Watch your language, for crying out loud. These kids listen.
I absolutely own the Lutzes this weekend. It was one of the great. And my pumpkin chocolate chips are back, which Bob has to go get me for Friday. It can't be any better.
You didn't get me my last thing that I want.
Actually, it's in the fridge, but if you want them, but you kind of don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
No, he doesn't.
Ridiculed Duda. What's your point?
My problem is today's my anniversary, right? I post on Twitter or Facebook that today's my anniversary. So far, I have 10 likes and 3 comments. You post on your Facebook that today's my anniversary later than I did, by the way. You have 53 likes and 5 comments. What in the world is wrong with
people? I have a lot
people?
More friends.
I understand that. But you tagged me. Why don't they just, hey, that's Jeff Lutz. He's got a page. Cool. Oh, he posted that it's his anniversary.
He's lived in my shadow. And the kid can't take it anymore.
Embarrassment to the public.
What advice do you... This is really the first time he's admitted it.
Yeah, it's true. He just did.
And I've been
It's not really about you. It's that someone else posted about my anniversary and gets more attention for that than I do. That's a strange dynamic.
Very easy. Get off social media. Look at this. This is firing you up.
He's up now to 58 likes just since I've started.
Because Pops over here got more likes than you did. We're talking about likes on the internet. Who cares?
And they're from people, some of whom are my friends. Kirk Siminoff liked your post, not mine. Paul Solentrop likes yours, not mine. My own sister. I don't think she liked mine.
The best is he has no idea what's going on.
He can't hear the wailing baby.
I don't really care, though.
That's a great... Well done, Max.
Yeah. I'm just curious why this matters to you.
It doesn't really matter, but, I mean, come on.
Obviously, it does. You walked in here, and that's the only thing you wanted to get to.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you wanted to get to.
Take the rest of the show.
So would you rather I not post?
It's not really about your post. I can appreciate that people want to celebrate... And, you know, draw attention to positive things. But now 60 likes, and I'm over here just begging for some attention on my anniversary. It's not yours. It's mine.
Bob, what do you think would happen if we started a Twitter
thing? By the way, I'm up to 60 likes.
What if we started a Twitter thing for me right now? Do you think I would get more than Jeff has by the end of the show?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
My own sister has liked your post, but not mine. My sister! Not even a relative of my father. This isn't also his daughter. It's my sister, dudes.
Well, she used to be my stepdaughter.
Right.
So, I mean, there's still that.
35 years ago.
There's that connection. The picks, you mentioned them. Somebody mentioned them.
Oh, I think I did.
Duda wins it. 6-2, 25 points. Only missed West Virginia and Georgia. You went for your... KU, and they score late in that one.
Yeah, I know.
And cost all of us big.
That hurts.
And you missed on Alabama, Georgia. Jamin also 6-2 for 22 points. Thank goodness I salvaged something yesterday with both Arizona and Kansas City covering. I was 1-5 going into that for 3 points. But I finished 3-5 for 14 points. And Jeff, 2-6 for a putrid.
Anyway, about the likes.
8 points.
Facebook.
8 points.
8 points.
Do you realize, because he took Dallas too, right? Oh, yeah, he did, because he lost a bet to me with that. That's right. And didn't he say that Green Bay would win by 9?
Well,
we
covered that yesterday.
No, I know, but I'm just thinking to myself, in those two games, added together, he missed the spread by just about 70 points.
Well, what
you realize 70 points. Like, I don't think that's – is that possible? Has that ever been done before?
Well, the question you ask yourself is who in the world would trust Jeff?
Well, nobody.
Well, what were the spreads? One was a pick 'em. So are you going to bash Vegas now for missing those spreads by 70?
By 28. So that's 28. And then you gave almost 10 points in the other game. So that's 38. And then Dallas lost by 20. I can't. It's a lot.
I couldn't believe the Dallas pick.
That was just wrong.
It'll happen sometimes. I thought Dallas would win.
Sometimes.
I thought, I don't know why, but I did.
So that gets Duda into contention.
Duda's always been in contention.
29 and 19 now for 125 points. I am at 30 and 18. I still lead it with 131. But this thing's tightening up, except for Jeff, who's falling completely out of it.
Oh, he's gone.
How many points do I have?
Not enough.
You're now 26 and 22 for 121 points.
So I'm only 10 behind?
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
That's a lot. That's a lot in this.
I can make that up in a week.
Nah, you can't. A lot of other people probably could, but
I
don't
think
you can.
From second to last. As we continue,
well, I was
with
first
picks.
2 weeks ago, so it's not.
I'll say you're making yourself sound even worse. Trimmed.
Here we have. Here was what's on the show today at 4:25. Dane and Hughes from the Chiefs Radio Network. Chiefs bludgeoned Buffalo yesterday with a great ground game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire not going to give up this spot to Le'Veon Bell without making some noise of his own. Emily Stevens with us at 4:45 as we talk about coping with the pandemic. We haven't had Emily for a while, but we're getting closer to the darker winter months, as you can attest from today. So we'll get with Emily. At 5:25, it's time to play the game, and it'll be interesting to see what Jeff has with a guy like Duda who doesn't know a whole lot.
Well, this is a game that both people can
what,
participate
you're gonna,
in.
You're going to accept that I said that?
Absolutely.
Really?
I'm good with it.
And well, then, you beat me in face-off.
Well, that's what I was going to get to that. I was like, it's funny that I beat you in that, and then if I was to beat you in this and you say I know nothing, where does that put you?
You beat him in the other game we had, too.
I did. I've beat him in a lot of the games we've played. So I just kind of sit here and chuckle because it's a win-win situation. I'm not supposed to win, but if I do, what does that mean for Bob's intelligence?
I'll make a prediction about this game. The odds favor Duda. I'll just say that.
I
like
that. So you kind of set it up for Duda.
Not necessarily. It's just from a pure.
That's all right.
No, listen. It's just from a pure probability standpoint, Duda has a better chance.
That's all right. I'm all for that. Good for him.
Game but he on. May not.
I probably not.
You have no chance. I'll just say that.
I don't know much, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I don't think it's good that I have no chance.
It's going to take a Herculean effort.
I think it's fine that you don't have a chance.
That's too bad. All right, I wanted to get to this because we'd be remiss if we didn't. Another story appearing this afternoon on The Athletic, written by C.J. Moore and Dana O'Neill, talking to former Winthrop players from way back, Greg Marshall's tenure at Winthrop back in the early 2000s into 2007 or so, in which a lot of those players, I think they reached seven. I should know that for sure, but I think they talked to seven former Winthrop players who pretty much validated what's been said here by Shaquille Morris and some other anonymous former Shockers. So that story's still playing out as of right now. Greg Marshall still coaching the Wichita State basketball team. But another story from, listen, these guys, C.J. Moore and Dana O'Neill, are as credible as they come, and they're good reporters, and so we got that to deal with. I don't know what it. I don't know where it's all going.
What do you think about this? Some of this stuff is 20 years old. Not that it makes Greg Marshall look great, but is the statute of limitations up on? He said some very degrading and off-color and off-putting things, according to this story in The Athletic. And I'm not excusing that, but it's a long time ago. So what are we supposed to make of what he did at Winthrop when he went on to Wichita State and has had a lot of success there?
It's a pattern of behavior,
of course.
So as we're all trying to wrap our heads around this and figure out exactly what it means and what should be done and what's going on, and I've tried to make it as simple as possible. I don't know if that works for people or not, or if you can make it simple. But to me, if the Wichita State allegations of hitting or whatever he did to Shaquille Morris, if that's true, if he choked or put his hands around former assistant coach Kyle Lindstedt, if that's true, then it's a fairly black and white situation, in my opinion. It's still playing out, so I don't know when we should expect a resolution. We are at October 20th. Shockers practicing, fully underway. They open the season. I don't know that they have a schedule yet.
November 25th, I believe.
I know they play in South Dakota tournament. Is that their opener?
Correct.
So we're a little more than a month out from them playing their first basketball game.
Well, there's going to be nothing simple about this whole thing. It doesn't matter what's going to happen now. With everything that's out, nothing is going to be easy for either side, I don't think, for the players, for coach. We're going to have to wait and see. I don't know how long this is going to take, but if allegations keep coming out like this, I don't know how long Wichita State can keep them here. If they find them factual, which I'm not saying they are because I don't know. And I haven't read the piece today, so I'm not going to comment on that. But there's a lot coming out that doesn't sound very good for Coach.
Well, there's damage done. And
that's the problem.
Listen, I hope that the law firm that is looking into this is doing a credible, good job. I hope the Wichita State Athletic Administration, and I'm sure it is, and the university administration is taking this as seriously as it needs to be taken. And, again, I have no reason to think they're not. But this is an antsy fan base right now.
Here's the problem. It's that he hasn't been suspended while the investigation is ongoing. That's backing yourself into a corner, because if he ends up getting fired, then you'll say, why? I mean, you were gonna let him be around players after now that it's proven that he choked one or choked a coach and hit a player.
I don't know that it can be proven.
Maybe, but if
I don't know that it can be proven. This is a preponderance of evidence case.
Right.
I don't think this is a.
But still, without suspending him, and then if you later fire him, then it tells people that now you've let him be around players when that's who he's been committing these transgressions against.
Well, nobody, the silence coming from Wichita State, you know, they're not sharing much of anything. I don't know if practices are being monitored or if Darren Boatwright and his staff are watching practices. I don't know what's going on. It would be nice to know some of those details, and if we ask Darren, he might tell us. I haven't asked Darren Boatwright, the athletic director, if that's the case, or what is being done in the interim here, while Greg Marshall continues to coach the team. I don't have the answers to that, so I don't know. 869-1240 is the number. Jeff is next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys, I don't think you can suspend him just because somebody accused you of something. I mean, what if I just called up and said, well, Bob slashed my tires on the way into the radio show yesterday?
That's not a credible allegation.
Wait a minute, Jeff. What if there's an investigation going on? Wouldn't you think I would be suspended while I was being investigated?
Allegations can be way off base. And
I'm not talking about allegations, Jeff. Please listen to my question, please, and then I'll give you an opportunity to answer it. What if an investigation is ongoing? And to learn about these allegations. Does that matter?
Well, not really. I mean, they got to investigate it and find out the truth. That's not – Greg didn't want this investigation. He didn't want any of this to happen. It wasn't him that – I mean
– It doesn't matter what he wanted. They are investigating the allegations.
Right. So, and that's fine, and they should, but I think it's a little off base to suspend someone or do something.
Okay, let's do worst case scenario, Jeff. Say he loses his temper in a practice and strikes a player right now.
Okay. Well, now we're going hypothetical.
These are the reasons why you suspend someone who's under investigation for the credible situation that exists. It's probably not going to happen that Greg Marshall will do that. Probably nothing will happen while he's being investigated and still coaching. But the reason is to make sure that it doesn't, and to conduct a fair and transparent investigation.
They got to believe in themselves. They hired him, and they continually hire him and keep him around because they hired someone that was correct.
Then that's not a fair and transparent investigation. That's drawing a conclusion that, well, we hired him, so it must be okay. That's not how investigations go.
No, but that's saying that they're not doing their job either. So, therefore, they should be fired as well if they're going to.
Well, you're taking many detours along this argument, Jeff. I appreciate the call. Let's get to Jack, who's holding. Jack?
Yeah, I'd like to just kind of comment from having actually been in practices. I'm just a fan, an old fan, but there was a period of time up to about 2 years ago that some of us were allowed in to watch some of the practices. I was not there when any of the quote-unquote striking took place, but I was there many times, and I think you always got to look at, although we don't seem to want to do this anymore, the backstory, I'll call it that, whatever journalism would call it. And that is what might have insinuated some of this. Shaq was absolutely one of the most lazy players and constantly causing coaches fits. And I think maybe you'll remember that if you've never attended a practice. At least you must have heard all the dilemma going on with Shaq as to being overweight, not wanting to do wind sprints. I was sitting there, and Marshall would get really put out when this happened. And, he spoke very – he got after people's rear. There isn't any doubt about that. And I can just visualize this because whenever that happened with either him, and this also includes, by the way, Eric Hamilton, when Eric was there, he would just go berserk. And he's got a temper. There isn't any doubt about that. But he would tell him to leave the court, and that isn't the way he would say it. Get your ass off the court. I don't want to see you again on this court till you know what you're doing. You know, these kind of comments. When I read the article at first, and I can't remember whether it's the one that Goodman put together or whatever, he did make the statement that Shaq had commented that he was asked to leave the court based upon the problem that occurred with Brown and then didn't do so. I could see Marshall at that point wanting him off the court. He's now, you know, creating a conflict in front of all the players. And I don't know. I just can't imagine him striking him. And when they say strike, everybody assumes it's a fist. What I also read into it was Shaq kind of commented in one of his little excerpts, and I'm just going with the internet, and that's a tough thing to base it on, but that he gave him a shove, or use the word hit, between his shoulders on his back. I could see Marshall going up and kind of shoving him, laying his hands on him maybe, and pushing him off the court, pushing him out the door, whatever. I do not believe that a coach would just strike a guy. Now, that's just an opinion and may not be a fact. But there is a backstory. When you've got two guys, Eric's problem was Eric constantly didn't know the play. And he was a hell of an athlete, and we all know that, but he had no playing time. And so both of these guys have a little bit to vent, maybe a little revenge in mind. I just think that has to be.
I think right now, Jack, I'll listen to what you say, and I gave you an opportunity. But to insinuate that if you're lazy or if you don't know the plays, then you open yourself up to potential physical and emotional harm, Don't agree with that, Jack.
Well, I didn't say that. If he struck him, that is a problem. And strike with a fist, this kind of thing. I'm just telling you, he did agitate Marshall quite often. And I think Marshall gave him a lot of room to grow, to expand. I think Van Fleet was even seen, you know, taking him out in the morning and trying to get him to run a little bit. I'm just saying there is a backstory. That's all I'm commenting. Maybe he did. Sure.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk Chiefs. They're coming off a win over Buffalo. We can get back to this topic at 5 o'clock, top of the hour, if our listeners want to. Listen, everybody's viewpoint is valid. I get it. It's a difficult time in Wichita State basketball, for sure. Dana Hughes will join us next. You're listening to The Drive with Bob, Jeff, and Jason.